Hi everyone, it's Linda Ockwell Jenna here again with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. And as you know, we're doing this series with some of our member experts, and today I'm really happy to have a very popular young man along who I call an IT guy, but I think that's a bit of a diss. He's not an IT guy. He's an extremely clever technical man, none other than Ashley Griffin. Hi, Ashley.
Good afternoon. How are you?
How am I? You don't want to know. Since we got back from our cruise, I haven't seen daylight. I've been so busy. What is your correct title? I called you an IT guy, but that's not right, is it?
Technically speaking, I would be classified as a networked specialist.
That's better. And your company is called?
It's Griffcom Inc. in Canada.
And I love the fact that you understand my British accent, because you've got one too.
Yeah.
So what fantastic topic have you got to share with us today? Because this is a very popular podcast. People love listening to you.
So we're going to talk about VoIP. So that's V-O-I-P, voice over IP. Last time we spoke about VPN. So VoIP is another acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it's an acronym just to mean you're putting voice over the internet protocol. It's a technology that everyone's heard of and nobody really understands. It was kind of invented to replace archaic old phone systems that were a box inside a building that phone lines connected to, and then all your phones connected to it. So you had maybe 5 to 10 lines coming in, and maybe 200 to 300 desk phones. So it was the ability of getting those 5 to 10 phone lines to be able to connect successfully to 100 to 500 people.
Wow.
So when you do a phone call out, the system determines what phone line it can use, which ones are in use, which ones to not go near. You also had toys in that system to be able to conference connect, barge into other phone calls if you had that power to do. A voice over IP is basically the same idea, just over the Ethernet internet protocol standard.
May I ask, when did this all start? This is going back how many years when this first came into, you know, use?
We're definitely going back minimum 25 years.
Okay.
I bumped into it actually was around 99 to 2000, and Ethernet had been around for quite a while then, but traffic going through networks was only maybe 5 megabits per second. So if you had 100 desktops, it was very difficult to get voice onto that network. For voice to work, when you say a conversation, those voice are broken up into little chunks. If this is the first one and this is the second one, so that's hello, how are you, they got to arrive in the same order.
Wow. I just thought it was a case of you just talk even then and now, and all things happen. So basically there's a plan.
Yeah, and that was part of the issue, because networks were very slow. I mean, they were 10 megabit, 100 megabit maximum. You had a 1 gig backbone. There was an issue getting that voice data to go across that network. It all in those lines.
So what would happen? What would happen then before this? If there was a problem, what were people doing to, you know, before this came into being? What would they do if there was a problem? Then wouldn't they hear people properly? Or
if you're asking what were they doing before VoIP, that was an old phone system. So they had a specific cable to go into specific phones. So each phone had its own cable going back to the phone system.
I'm with you.
When you move it into a computer technology, it's one network and they're all fighting for that bandwidth.
I'm with you. And you're saying like maybe 500 different voices, different people would be using. Yeah. I understand.
So your ear is very susceptible to misses in conversation and echo. And echo is where that packet got bounced around the network and you received it 6 times. It sounded like an echo. And that was the issue. So that's why VoIP didn't really take off until probably the mid-2000s, where networks became quick enough that echoing and miss problems in communication stopped being an issue. So the packets were arriving in line. Ring Central still had issues running into like 2010, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The more you paid them, the better quality of sound was. And that was because they moved you up the list of you're going to come in first in our network.
So what you're saying is big organisations, big companies with X amount of people would be using this then. Are they still using it now?
Yeah, it's very prevalent when you get into the larger companies doing business support. Mm. They're probably using VoIP. One of the things that I'd like the listeners to understand is there's two sides to this. So you have VoIP inside your building and you have VoIP outside of your building.
Mm.
You don't need both. I have some clients that have a Bell phone line but use VoIP inside.
What does that mean, use VoIP inside but have a Bell phone line?
So physically to their building, they've still got Bell phone lines, maybe three physical lines
mm-hmm.
that they can plug in three physical phones to.
Yeah.
But they've got, say, 10 staff, and clearly they don't want to have three phones on every desk and one phone on every desk rings when one line rings.
So what, no.
Yeah. So what yeah. you do is you plug that into a PBX, which would be a private branch exchange, and that acronym's always been the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the PBX is VoIP. So that plugs into your network. So each phone on your desk is basically plugged on your network. That talks back to the VoIP PBX that physically talking to people outside via the Bell phone lines.
It's very complicated now.
Yeah, it can, yes, because you're jumping through technologies. But the thing to understand is VoIP is not end-to-end. You can have VoIP inside and yeah. still have Bell phone lines.
So I believe I've had... Dave would correct me, but he's not here, a VoIP phone for many, many years. Even as a small business owner 25 years ago, I still don't have a lot of people. I have about three or four people doing work for me, but they're all virtual. So I believe I've got one of those on my desk, and I believe it's very affordable for me to make any kinds of calls. Would that be the kind of phone I've got? A VoIP phone?
Yeah, it's very likely your phone's going back to a service provider somewhere on the internet
mm-hmm.
and your other staff have the same principle. So in your case, the PBX is somewhere in the cloud.
I don't know where it is, but it's very inexpensive, which, you know, small businesses in particular need to be able to have something like it that's not expensive. So, but what you're saying is most small business owners wouldn't have it. It would be the larger organizations or...
Yeah, it's kind of funny because one of this service or one of the hardware we supply actually has other services built into that PBX to make it more usable. One of them we have, it, you can replace WhatsApp with it. So you have an app on your phone that doesn't just do VoIP.
Oh.
It will do text, pictures, video conferencing, all through that one appliance.
That's very clever.
Yeah, it's actually really nifty. And I'll tell you, they never marketed it whatsoever.
No. Now, you offer this to your clients, your customers.
Yes.
Yeah. And how popular is this? I mean, how do you market it to them if they didn't know about it in the first place? Because this is the first I've heard.
A lot of it is just, it's chat. And I'll be honest, a lot of them fall into it because mm-hmm. they'll be going back to Bell, who will sell them a VoIP solution.
Yeah.
That solution doesn't include like the WhatsApp bolting because they never heard of it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just going out and talking to people.
Yeah.
And at each of the meet and greets I have a VoIP phone on the desk powered on, and that usually sparks the conversation.
And that's when we see you say at the chamber. So are you able to show people there what it actually does or just tell them about it? You can't
They physically see the phone working, like it's powered on. That one doesn't do anything, but I do have it on my mobile phone.
Oh, that's interesting. So your sales then, your tactic for marketing this is to attend events and show possible clients, because you've got your clients already, but when we network and you show this to possible clients and they're quite intrigued by it. And now, if they've already got one from, say, who did you say, Bell or somebody like that, they have to keep that one too, do they? Or
Yeah, they're very individual. So Bell used to sell Cisco. Cisco then went end of life, so I don't know what they sell now. They are very proprietary. The best way of thinking of this is cars. Like if you've got a car and it's a BMW and someone else comes along, that's not going to be a BMW. So you're going to be selling that car to replace it. And it would be the same with Bell. I can use some existing hardware. It becomes very difficult, though, if your office is in, say, Milton, which I had, and then they had a call center in Barbados. So you'd want.
Why would that be difficult though if it was in Barbados?
Yeah, they want to be able to remote configure the phone. So when they move the people around the desks, you want those phones to be fully 100% compatible to the PBX or the VoIP PBX. To do that, they need to be the same brand. It's unlikely what Bell sold them was going to be the same brand. Now, it could, and if it is, I'll try and use them. But the phones really need to be the same brand because of the way they're configured. That Barbados client, I would get emails on a Monday saying, oh, we've moved desks, extension, this is now this person, an extension of it. And I literally go in for half an hour and change it, send an email, and they say, yeah, the phones are updated, they're done.
That's amazing. So, do most people in your line of work have as much technical knowledge about what they are selling to people that you do? Because this is a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it specifically Bell, they have the expertise on phones, extensions, what they do. They don't have the expertise on what one of the things we offer is, we spoke about VPN on the last episode. If you had one of those firewalls, you could use this when you're on holiday on a cruise ship because there's an app on your phone that goes back to that PBX. So you're expanding it out to remote offices. Bell couldn't do that. They don't do it.
That's interesting. Say, for instance, it's a new person who's offering the same services of you. I wonder, because what I find fascinating about you can go through the whole history of when things started to happen, why they started to happen, and how it's better for a business or, a larger business. And I'm not sure a lot of newer IT professionals or experts would go that far back and be able to explain it. Because what you do, I think, is encourage me to want to know more. And then I understand a bit more about why I'm using something. So we would pay you money for the phone, or do we pay you money for the service?
No, so you normally, when I sell them, we would sell you the phones and the PBX, so you buy those outright and you own them. The advantage with what we offer is, as you may have guessed, they're fully secure. So it's on your site, and if you get the lines from us, they're rented. So if you had a line from us, that call going from your door, that firewall, over to the internet here actually is an encrypted call and no one can see it.
So that's very good for this day and age, isn't it?
Yeah, so again, if you are, say you had a remote office at home or you're on a cruise, that remote app on your mobile here, that's using an encrypted channel to get back to the office. And because it's all office centric, you own it, it's all encrypted. So
That's amazing, yeah.
I would be more the person to go to because I know the end-to-end solution. I don't generally like rentware. I
No.
like the cost so you know what you've paid for, and then we just maintain that. Yes, if you had phone lines, you rent those from us because you never own a phone line.
No, of course not yet. That makes sense. Now, big question. Do very, 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 very large organizations, who have, say, 1,000 people or more, do they use these phones as well? Because I know a lot of organizations now are saying you've got to use your own cell phone. But do they still need a phone like this one that we're talking about?
Yeah, I don't understand why, or I can only put that down to cost. And it may actually be because they're not aware that we have an appliance that will basically do what WhatsApp does securely. That's the only reason I can think they've done that. Because the moment you've got a sales guy giving out his private phone number, when he leaves the company, guess what happened to all of those clients?
Oh, I've got a good idea.
Yeah. He's going to ring them and he's got to be honest and go, I don't work there. If you had an appliance in your site that did what the appliance we does sell, well, he's using his extension number. So when he's left, well, you just disconnect the extension and then the app he's got on his phone is now worthless.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, that I've always thought it was odd for the past, I don't know how many years, 5 or 6 years, you know. Oh, no, we don't supply a phone. You have to bring your own phone. I'm thinking, gosh, the world has changed. Next, they'll be saying, bring your own pencils, if anybody uses a pencil. Bring your own laptop. Bring your own monitor. They're making lots of money, but they're making, you know, their people. It's really weird. You've given us a good understanding of something that's still very useful. It's still very affordable. It's encrypted, so it's very secure. So basically, it's wonderful to know somebody who knows something about it. What tip would you leave with us today if somebody's considering using this kind of service? You know, is there anything you could say, don't because of this, or do because of this, or pros and cons?
I would be very resistive of using cloud-based VoIP systems. They have your phone number and that's it. The moment you stop paying them, you lose the number.
Really?
Yeah. If you've gone to the cloud and you've transferred, if you've either transferred your number there, it's very difficult to get it back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you've chosen one of their numbers, you're definitely not getting that back.
No. yeah, I'm with you.
Now, of course, marketing. So you've been marketing your business for 3 years with that phone number.
Yeah.
You're now stuck with them. So what we do is make sure that that doesn't happen. So one of the advantages is, or one of the things is, be very careful when you're using cloud. So unfortunately, you probably want to dig out to talk to me to find out, is that a good idea? Is it not? An on-premise VoIP solution's not cheap, but then also you own it.
Yeah.
And it's flexible. So my warning would be very careful of cloud based VoIP solutions.
That's a good tip. Yeah, that's a good tip. And you've explained why as well.
Yeah, it can be an issue. The last thing I'll leave you on, which no one has ever seen, I actually have, and I did try it, an actual Wi-Fi mobile phone. It looked like a little decked phone, but it was Wi-Fi. So you could go into Tim Hortons, connect to the Wi-Fi, and it was an extension number.
Oh, that's weird. I've never heard of it.
It's a really good idea. I tried this thing out and it was really good.
So this is a new thing, right?
I say new. They're maybe 7 or 8 years old, but I haven't really seen them because they're not a mobile because they need Wi-Fi. But Tim Hortons, cruise boats, they all have Wi-Fi.
True.
You connect this to the Wi-Fi and it automatically connects back to your PBX on your site.
That is very interesting. You've kind of lost me a bit because not very techy, but I know a lot of people understand what you're on about. So, my angel, that's another fantastic, podcast, video, episode of things that I think a lot of people like me have heard the terminology but wouldn't really understand what they're all about. I just use the phone, people phone me, I don't care how it works, really like that. But a lot of people do. But also the cloud thing as well, you know, and not owning the number. I really would like you to share information again, you know, just in case somebody wants some tips off you. You know, what's the best way to contact you?
I would think either email, so ashley.griffin@griffcom.ca, so that's 2ms.ca, or they can ring us 226-485-1002.
Or if they're in Canada and they're in Cambridge in Ontario, they can come to the Chamber and meet you there. They can come to the Small Business Community Network and meet you there. Yep. I am fascinated by our conversations and I'm not a techie person, but I'm curious to ask these questions. So thank you again, Ashley, for being one of our experts. It was wonderful.
Cool. Good. Well, and it'll be insights into the next month.